Welcome to the Abel Llerena Audio Experience, Episode 9. And here today we are with Young Reese. And bro, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people who you are.
Hey, what's up, people? My name is Young Reese. I'm from Miami, Florida. I'm an up-and-coming artist. And right now my current state is just doing music and working on my private businesses and growing them as an entrepreneur at the same time. Do what you love at the same time, chase your dream.
Oh man, now that's an introduction, bro. Listen, talk to the people that are going to be receiving the value from this podcast, from this episode, because I mean, that's my common thread. If I'm not giving value, then what's the point? So let's talk to the people. How did we meet?
So I guess we met through social media, Instagram. We had mutual friends, and one thing led to another. You reached out to me. I like your energy, I like your vibe, and we're now here sitting down doing the interview on the podcast.
It was that simple. I mean, you say simple, but it takes a lot of work. Is I reach out to a lot of people.
No, of course. It definitely takes time.
Absolutely, brother. And what happens is a lot. You get a lot of no's.
This is true.
So the framework, the mindset. You mentioned you're an entrepreneur. Not only you're an up and coming artist that is in South Florida, correct?
Yes, sir.
But how would you say that the entrepreneurship, because the word hustle has been whored out, man. And Gary's been talking about that. Gary V. If anybody has never heard of Gary V, I highly suggest check out Gary V on social. Because as I was talking to Young Reese earlier in conversation, I believe that was the common thread on how we connected. I'm not sure 100% though. What do you think, Young?
No, absolutely right. Definitely.
Talk to me about entrepreneurship and how do you connect the dots between the artist, because it's you, it's your brand, and the entrepreneur. Does that make sense? How do you connect the dots?
Yeah. So let's look at it this way. If you want to be an artist, everyone's going to tell you, you have one in a million to be an artist. There's so much competition, but the reality of it is you shouldn't worry about the other people. You shouldn't worry about the competition. You just have to go and do what you love. Cause if you're good at what you do and you're passionate about it, people will follow you no matter what. And when it comes to entrepreneurship, you want to reach a goal, just like everyone else is trying to reach a goal. You're trying to do something that's going to make you produce money, just like millions of other people are trying to do the same exact thing. They're both against the grain. It's very hard to make both of them successful and succeed. But the difference is that you just have to continue growing with your company, which is if it's music, if it's entrepreneurship, get known, get exposed with a company, a brand, get a partnership. The idea is just to keep going and do what you love at the same time. Because if you're just chasing the money, don't get me wrong, money is amazing. But if you're just chasing the money at the end of the day, sometimes the business won't thrive, I personally believe, because I believe if you really love what you're doing and you're really trying to help people or trying to get this company that you love, it grows just like in the music. If you're truthful and honest in music and you're doing what you love and you're speaking the truth, it will grow just like anything else.
Yeah, I've talked to my son and I've mentioned this to people that I dearly love. And I love every single person that's hearing this, and it means the world to me, anybody that follows me on social, because I have a lot of stuff going on and I don't have the answers to where this thing is evolving. What I've done ultimately is I've grabbed, after watching Gary V for about 3-4 months on social, I was already convinced and it made a lot of sense to me. And I'm not I wouldn't say I'm a full-bred entrepreneur. I can't say that with a clean conscience yet, but I definitely have some tendencies. Maybe I am. I don't know. I don't know where it goes. I don't put a lot of effort into what I am. I just do. I take action. I just do. And that's opened up a lot of things with I've grabbed his thesis and I put my name on it and I believe in it. And I think if anybody does the same thing, they would be successful as well if they do that. My motivation is to buy the Miami Dolphins, and it's legacy. It's the $5 flip. $5 flip is a hustle that I have which is my twist of Gary V's trash talk, if you will. And I go, that's what feeds me the money. That's my money funnel to buy the toys to be able to produce better content and then distribute that as I learn at scale. And that's the plan. But in the process, I've connected with a lot of artists and a lot of people in South Florida, because my heart's in South Florida, my passion, personal passion, South Florida, because I'm from South Florida. My family's in South Florida. Hialeah specifically is where I'm from. I graduated from Hialeah High, and Nate the Great, who was just an awesome interview, who I interviewed last night. And man, I'll tell you what, that was an awesome interview. Nate the Great, he even mentioned it. And I was like, man, you know, what do I do with this? But the Dolphins, man, is a motivation for me, is to buy those Dolphins. Is to buy the Dolphins. If I don't buy the Dolphins, am I going to shrivel and die? No. It's just the motivation that I use to play Gary V's, hopefully, New York Jets. And in the process, I'm just laying down the framework for legacy. That's what I'm doing here. Now, the money's great, brother. I need the money, which is why I started $5 Flip. And I park all my stuff in hashtag five, F-I-V-E, dollar, D-O-L-L-A, flip. And I don't know if you've noticed this. I think Instagram just wiped or reset, if that makes sense, hashtags. Because all my personal hashtags that I started, they're pretty much done. So I'm starting from scratch. Within the last 2 days, I noticed that. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that. Certain hashtags that I put, Young Reese, Young Reese official, the pictures are not there anymore.
Yep. So, you know what? I see this as a good thing, not a bad thing. I think it's time to refresh, to renew, to revive, to reconnect, to do things different. And that's the framework that I have in my head. And I just turned the negative into a positive, man. And so I started doing that today already. But yeah, man, talk to me. Talk to me a little bit more regarding the actual passion, because passion is one of the things that I cover in culture. And I believe passion is the rocket fuel that gets you to the destination. I believe the framework of the positivity, the positive mindset is the rocket ship. And the dream is the destination. So without passion, you're not going to get to destination. That's what I believe. What are your thoughts on that?
I 100% agree. If, you know, there was no passion and people didn't follow their dreams, we wouldn't have Tesla. We wouldn't have Walt Disney World. We wouldn't have a lot of things. If people would just realize everything that we see has to do with imagination. It had to do with a vision. It had to do with a dream. I don't think people understand. Oh, the TV. People had to imagine something like this. People had to imagine cars, buildings, designs. Everything was a creativity, was a creative state of mind. I think what the problem is with some people is that some people are scared to speak of what their thoughts are or what their creative process is or whatever they feel that they're thinking of, because we live in a society sometimes that, you know, you're scared to speak. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's kind of dumb. If people realize that life is not that long, life is literally short and it passes you by so quick. Your idea could be the next biggest thing in the world, or you could be the next biggest artist in the world. You could be the next inventor in the world, the best painter, you know, the next Picasso. But if you're scared to follow what you're passionate about, you won't ever reach it. And that's the scariest part. How many people never reach their goals, dreams, because they never chase their passion.
Yeah, brother. And I'll tell you what, man, I see it. Okay. In my line of work, I've been in the medical field for 20, going on 26 years now. Mm-hmm. Emergency medical services, to be specific. And so I've had a lot of people look at me in the eyeballs and die, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I've had plenty of opportunity in those 26 years to get some very intimate moments with a lot of people. And those people ain't with us anymore, bro. Some people are, you know. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, man, regret is a bear. When you go and you take one of these patients to that nursing home, and you look at those eyeballs, bro, there's a lot of regret.
This is true. I agree.
There's a lot of regret. There's a lot of regret. And I know we were talking about Gary Vee earlier, and, you know, he's mentioned that in his content. You know, I've seen that, brother. That was that specific content that he put out was very touching to me, very moving, very real, because I had lived it for such a long time. Yeah, it's very real, man. Regarding your passion, though, young Reese, man, what's your passion, brother? Where are you heading? I mean, you got businesses. You want to talk to us about your businesses, what you got going on as well with the artistry, what you got going on?
So just to give you like a small background so people can understand, at a very young age, I had to respond and take care of myself. So that means that, you know, I didn't have handouts or a mom and dad to take care of me. So immediately, you know, I did things when I was younger to start, you know, getting money. Now, what was I doing? Those things weren't, let's say, the best things to do at the age, but that's what I was doing at the moment. So just to go into detail, I would sell drugs. I would do a lot of more things. I just don't want to say on the podcast, but I did a lot of things that were illegal at the time because, you know, I'm alone. I was homeless. I went house to house. I lived to different homes. And what happened was when I was younger, I remember I lived in North Miami, 135th Opa-locka Boulevard. So I was raised in Dade County. So I was born in Miami. I went to Atlanta for 7 years. And then I came back because I got sent over here at 12 to 13, and I was raised for the rest of my time in Miami. So growing up in Miami, it's the city. You see a lot of different things, especially from when I was growing up. And since, you know, I've always had kind of like a go-getter mentality, I did what was easy at the time, at that moment. And as I got older, I was realizing, you know, people, you know, you look like, oh, I want to be like Escobar or this and this and that. But as you get older, you realize the consequences that comes with things you do sometimes, you know? So what I did was, you know, I try to work with rich people. I try to work around people with money to get ideas of what to do and, you know, try to expand my mind. Because at the time, you know, I was homeless. I was in Section 8. I was living at friends' crib. People, you know, people don't – when you're at that position and you're 16 to 17, you know, reality kind of hits you. Like, where am I going to be with my life? What am I going to do? Like, how am I going to be stable? You know, like, you start thinking about those things real quick. And then I had a job at the time. I was a valet driver, and I was working at this building called Icons in Miami. And I was still selling drugs, and I was doing other things at the same time. And the reason why I got a job at the valet, it was the only job I got at the time, was to talk to every person who lived in the building. And what I did was I was talking to every person. I did the cars who had, like, nice cars, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, Phantoms, Bentleys, because, you know, at that age, you associate money with success and things like that. And then everybody would ask every single person. Every single person that responded to me had their own business. Everyone who had the nicest of cars had their own business. So it made me realize, okay, I got to get my own business. The thing is, at the age of 16, 17, the only thing I know how to do is sell drugs. And, you know, like, so I don't know anything about business. I don't have anyone to teach me about business. So this was my best bet. And I remember at the time, I was still doing music at the time. I was at the age, I was doing music from 14 to 19. And I kept doing music during this whole time situation, trying to figure, I guess, life or stability. And I remember I spoke to this one guy. He lived in a building. He lived in a penthouse suite. And I remember he came in. He had a blue Bentley. And I wanted to go talk to him. But everyone told me, don't talk to him. He doesn't tip. I was at a worried about instant gratification, which came with the money at the moment. I wanted to pick his brain. You know, this guy's probably a millionaire or whatever he is to be driving this car living in the penthouse suite.
Yeah, you wanted to talk to the guy because you knew the value of the data inside that brain.
Exactly. So right. to decipher it, I was like, I'm willing to not get money. I'm willing to do this. So he had some groceries. I took it upstairs. And I went to go speak to him. And I remember it was a Mexican guy. He was an older gentleman. He was about, I think, 60 years old. And I asked him, hey, can I ask you a quick question? He's like, yeah, what's up? Hey, man, what did you do to become wealthy? What did you do to become successful? At this time, I was reading a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, talking about assets and liabilities. And when I asked him, he asked me, why do you ask that? And I was like, because I've been reading this book and it's talking about, you know, this kid who had a father who was just a school teacher, and his friend had a dad who was rich, and he wanted to go talk to the rich dad to get knowledge on how becoming successful. So since I don't have my dad in my life or a rich person or family member, I wanted to ask you. I was very honest when I said that. And he's like, okay, I do real estate. And I was like, oh, perfect. So the way to become successful and rich is real estate. Thanks. And I turn around ready to walk away. He was like, wait a minute. He's like, that's not the answer. That's what I did to become successful. And he's like, you got some time? I'm like, hell yeah, I got some time. And I sat down. He's like, listen to me. My passion was real estate. I'm like, why was your passion real estate? He's like, because I came from a poor family where we never had a home. So I always said when I was older, I was going to buy my mother a house and my family members. And I had a passion that drove me to do that. So at the age of 17, I'm thinking, oh, you know, this guy probably came from family or something, with family with money, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I was poor from Mexico. And I had a whole bunch of siblings living with me. I didn't have my dad in my life. My mom was the only person with me. And I was the one who created the wealth. I'm like, how'd you do it? He's like, I worked every single day of my life and focused on my passion to do what I needed to do. And I got to the goal, but he said that, but I lost one of the most important factors to life's journey. And I was like, hold up, what do you mean you lost? You have a Bentley, you have a Phantom, you're in a penthouse, you can get any girl you want probably, da 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 da. He's like, Reese, I want you to do me a favor. Look around my house and tell me how many family pictures do you see? I'm like, zero. But I was like, you probably don't put pictures up. He's like, no. He's like, I focus so much on being successful that I didn't make time for a family. So I don't have no wife or kids. I focus so much on working hard that my mom died during the process of me becoming successful. And I lost a lot of relationships because I was so focused on the money. And I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, say, no, but you're still young. You can do it. Like, it's different when you're my age, Reese. When you're 60, it's different. You know, it's different. He's like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying money is a burden. Money is amazing. Money is great. But you got to also learn to have fun and enjoy your life during the process. He's like, because one day to another, everything could be gone. Financially, your life. He's like, life is unpredictable, Reese. No matter how rich you are, you can be dead tomorrow. None of that money makes a difference. And he told me, what was your passion? I was like, I love to do music. And he's like, and what else? Well, I like working out. I like looking good. He's like, okay, you can make those into a passion and make money off of it. And I was like, man, but I don't know, man. Like, making money off of, you know, how the way I look and making money off of, you know, music, it seems impossible. He's like, it's not impossible. He's like, you're young. You have many years to follow what you need to do. So after that place, I literally quit the valet job. I left. I quit.
Did you quit that same moment?
I literally quit the next day. I was like, forget this. This shit is not going to make me rich. This is a waste of my life. I'm literally homeless at the time. I was living with a friend of mine who was an immigrant. I lived with him for a year. He was an immigrant. He was 17 years old. Yeah, and I quit. And I was sleeping on this floor for a year, walking, taking a bus, trying to figure out, you know, my passion, which is doing music and I guess fitness, we could say. And little by little, I started focusing on my fitness, which actually opened my doors to work with a company that helped me travel around the U.S. at a young age. Wow. And so like at 17, 18, 19, I kept rapping and I got offered a deal with Sony. I actually got offered a record deal with Sony. I did an interview with a guy from Orlando and he wanted to take me to a record label. And I sat down and spoke with the record label, but I didn't have any paperwork right. Which if you're an artist and you don't know this, you got to have, you know, you got to be signed with ASCAP or BMI. They're actually music organizations that help you pretty much have a record for what you're doing. You know, people think it's just record a track and throw it out there. There's a lot more to it when it comes to the business side. But I didn't know, you know, I was 17, 18.
Right.
And then the guy brought me to the label and he's like, oh, I'm going to be your manager and you got to, but you have to sign right now. And I was getting really upset because at that time, the music scene isn't what it is now. At the time, it was like literally it was no opportunity in Miami. People weren't doing things in Miami. And I was like, I need money now. Yo, I'm homeless. You know, I'm selling drugs. I'm fucking robbing people. Like, I gotta do some shit today because, you know, I'm homeless. People didn't understand that. Like, oh, but how are you homeless? And you were selling drugs. Like, because no one gives you an apartment under the age of 18 and 19. I don't think people understand that. Like, you know, you can't get an apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't understand those things. And so I was literally trying to do everything I can at the age of 19. I had to stop doing music. It was my passion. I loved it. It was my number one passion. And I had to stop because I was like, yo, I got to do something in my life. You know, I can't pick up the phone, have someone rescue me. So then I randomly got an opportunity to work with this company because I met this guy. And he was like, bro, I like your personality. You're charismatic. He's like, you think, you know, you want to help me with traveling. And in the state of Florida, I need a Spanish speaker. And me didn't know that being Spanish would help benefit me in my life. It helped me. And then I got the opportunity and started traveling all over South Florida. And then traveling through South Florida, I met a lot of business owners. So with the business owners that I met, there were owners of GNCs, Vitamin Shop, mom and pop stores. And I would literally ask them what they do to have to own a business. And a lot of people told me either they worked all their life to have it. Some had family. Some had a passion for it. The funniest thing, the people who just did it just to get an income never had a successful business. But the people who had a passion for fitness and what they were doing, they had a very successful business. And I realized, damn, you know, even if you have the money, you got to be somewhat interested, you know, in what you're doing, because then you'll have an interest in seeing it grow. And if you don't care, obviously you're not going to care if it grows or anything. So with doing that, I kept traveling and I was realizing, man, I'm working for this company, and this company, I made $1.3 million. I made $1.3 million for this company in a year. Wow. And I was still a 1099. So that means I wasn't even a part of the company. I was just a general contractor.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really bullshit because, you know, you put a lot of time to the company, and don't get me wrong, I got paid. I was getting money, got my first apartment. I was living on the water at this time. Now at the age of 19, 20, I stopped selling drugs. So remember, that means I was selling drugs from, you know, let's say 13 all the way up to 19, 20. And with the extra money that I had, I would pay debt. So I would put in savings, or I got me a nice car, like little things like that. And then, but I was like, you know what? I had to stop selling because I was like, you know, drug dealing ain't my focus. That wasn't my focus. So I had to cut it off and put my effort into other things. And literally doing the business, I realized traveling. I started going to Texas. I started going to Arizona. I started going to different areas. And then when I started traveling, I was like, damn, I'm so unhappy traveling. And I'm like, but wait, I'm doing fitness like, I like this. That's when I realized fitness is a hobby and it wasn't 100% crazy driven passion.
Gotcha.
And then that's when I started realizing I love fitness, but the difference is when I was doing music and I would have people sing my lyrics, my melodies, and watch what I do, it was a complete different feeling from having people just look at my body and saying, damn, this guy looks good. It was just a totally different feeling. You can't compare it. And then I was working for, you know, the person who was on top of me, who I helped make like $150,000 a year, they cut him loose. And they asked me for the job. And like, yeah, I want to work, but they only offered me $40,000 for the business. And I was like, it's just for the company. I was like, I can't work for $40,000. Like, you know, like you guys are paying this other guy $130,000, $150,000. And I speak three languages. Like, why am I getting paid less when I was doing the same thing that he was doing?
Yeah.
And for me personally, I thought it was a thing of racism. You know, it was just because everyone who was white in the company was getting paid really good money. They were growing and You know, I got the shit into the stick. I put in work. I made 1.3 million. I was the only Spanish speaker. I was traveling to different areas and whatever the case may be. But, you know, things happen. So then I left the company and then I started doing training. I was training people. And then little by little, I developed my own business for personal training. I got my own company, my logos, cards. And I had people that I knew that were trainers and I would help get them jobs. So literally, I started running a business like that. I was like my own boss. I would get my own money and pretty much I would control my hours and schedule. And it's going really good. It was going really good. And money, it still produces money to this day. But what people didn't know was I started feeling like, damn, this is repetitive. Because remember, fitness was a hobby. It wasn't a passion. Makes right. sense.
Yeah.
So then randomly, I was praying to God. I was like, yo, God, man, this shit is crazy. Like, I'm stable. I'm getting my life good. You know, I'm helping my mom and dad. I'm helping family. I'm trying to help. You know, I'm doing good for myself. But I'm not 100% happy. And I was like, what is it? You know? And out of nowhere, I had a situation where I spoke to someone and they told me, yo, what happened to your music? Why did you stop? And I was telling them, oh, because of the money. And, you know, shit was just, you know, it was just a problem at that time doing it. And they were like, yeah, man, but like, you know, you have a talent. It's crazy for you to let time pass by and still not do what you love. He's like, even if you're not 100% rich or successful, you're still doing something you love. And at the same time, it could still get you somewhere. But you will never know if you don't try. Right?
Yeah.
And I remember I was watching Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle was actually talking about an interview when he told his dad he wanted to be a comedian. His dad was like, that's stupid. That's retarded. That's not successful. And he's like, Dad, how much money do you make a year? And I think his dad said he makes $30,000 a year. He's like, so if I'm a comedian and I make $30,000 a year, am I still successful? And am I a failure? Well, he's like, well, if you put it that way, you're successful. You're making the same income I do, but you're doing what you love. He's like, exactly. So, and that made me realize people change this image of wealth and rich. And don't get me wrong, I have definitely the like to be successful and rich. But what happens is you're going to drive yourself insane trying to compete with a billionaire. You're going to drive yourself insane trying to say you need a Bentley now. You're going to drive yourself insane saying you need a billion-dollar house. And I think that's the problem with our generation. We want instant gratification without working for it. So I was like, okay, you know, I like music. I'm going to do it. So I started doing music, going full-time with it. And literally, it's been going great. I've learned the business side of it. And I'm actually making money off of music from streams and stuff like that. And YouTube visualizations and shows. And I realized everything's a business. If you learn the business side of passion, then you become great. And if you're good at what you do, you continue growing. But the thing is, it takes time. But if it's really your passion, you won't be bothered by it. That's the problem. If you're doing something you want to get rich today that you don't love, you're going to become bothered by it. But if you do something you love every day and it's not making you successful at that moment, you're still going to be okay because you're doing what you love. Like a lot of people always say, yo, you got to get into stocks and this and this and that. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. Stocks are amazing. But I don't know nothing about stocks. And it's not my passion where I could sit behind a computer 25, you know, hours a day trying to make money. Like for me, that's not my passion. If one day it becomes something that I like, then yeah, I could do it. It could be a side hustle for me, you know. That's why I think you can create and develop side hustles if you have the time and you actually want to do it. And literally, I just, you know, been doing music and I got with a label that I opened my own label, Pyramid Records, and I actually created my own label and did everything myself. And I'm seeing revenue from that, passive income, where literally if people start listening and playing my streams, I'm getting a source of income, which at the end of the day, that's great. People don't understand, and it's my passion. That means I'm getting paid for people to listen to something I created. It's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling. And at the same time, I still run my side hustle, which is the training thing. So I have people who train clients and I still get paid for it. And that's the idea, you know. Am I 100% successful, rich? No, but am I enjoying my life? Yeah, I traveled, went to Brazil, you know, I went to Colombia, you know, I went to Puerto Rico, DR. You know, a lot of people can't say that, but I'm still saving and enjoying my life and doing what I have to do and enjoying it. So if I die tomorrow, I'm doing what I love until that moment comes.
Right, right, right. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, when I listen to your story, I mean, it's value. I mean, short-term thinking for me, I can teach a class on that, but I'm not here to teach. I'm here to expose your journey. So, but I wanted to mention that the short-term thinking versus the long-term, when that clicked, when that gentleman, that Mexican gentleman that lived at the penthouse, that's that moment. That's when it clicked.
Exactly.
And you went, wait a minute. And the next day you took action. You didn't sleep on it too much. I mean, you next day, boom, you're done. And you were homeless. And then, you know, I think the definition of success is very important, bro. I think that's been a common thing that I've learned in my own life. I always measure, am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? Because that's my definition of success. Anything else could rot.
I honestly agree.
Because, hey, give me the money. I'll take the money. If you send me money right now, brother, I need it. I need money. Because I'm not monetizing anything, and I'm going to try to not monetize nothing as long as I can. As long as I can with what I'm doing. Okay. I'm going to stay true to the Gary Vee thesis. You know, eventually, jab, 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 eventually the hook is coming. But, you know, that's the way it is. And jab, 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 right hook. And that's one of the books, I believe, that Gary Vee. I need to read his books, bro. I'm not a reader, but maybe I can listen to his books, audio. Definition of success, bro, happiness, bro. It sounds like you're happy. You're doing what you're happy about. And talk to me about your music, bro. I mean, this is your passion. You've discovered that music is your passion. This is your thing. Fitness is your hobby. My son, he's huge, man, into fitness. He's motivated me. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Sway Molina. You can find him on IG, Facebook, or Twitter. And he's an actor. He's in Miami. Sway, Sway Molina, Molina. And he's an awesome dude. And he's actually been putting a lot of content out, even though he's an actor, where mm-hmm. he's working out, like in his backyard, doing Rocky Balboas and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I've been listening to some of the stuff that, and looking at some of the stuff that The Rock is putting out. And dude, you, between my son, obviously The Rock, and then Sway Molina, a friend of mine, I get encouraged to go into the gym. You know, my son, when I told him, hey, man, I'm going to be interviewing Young Reese, check out his music. It's dope, man. And he listened to it, and he's like, yeah, man. And he says, man, he works out, doesn't he? And I'm like, yeah, he works out a little bit. He says, a little bit? That dude's thick. And I was like, yeah, he's into fitness as well, you know. And so it's awesome how you brought those two things together with your passion, bro. And it sounds like you're on fire, man. You're crushing it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Talk to me about your music. How do we find your music? Talk to me more about your music.
So you can find my music on Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, literally every single music platform possible. You can type in Young Reese. And I have two songs currently out, Roadrunner. And then I also have a song called Long Way with an artist signed to Future, Free Bands Gang label, and his name is Zoe Dollars. I have a song with him, which is called Long Way. You can find me on IG, Young Reese Official. I put all my information on there. And music, man, usually talks about my current state of things I've been through. Like, so for example, the song called Roadrunner. So the song called Roadrunner, I did in Brazil. And what's the point of Roadrunner? What does it mean? Now, everything I say in my lyrics is 100% true that I've been through, I live. I don't falsify any of my information. So what I say in my song is like, see, I'm road running for the motherfucking bag. Do whatever it takes. See, I'm trying to get that. Put it on the line. Yeah, I'm just trying to get what's mine. I ain't going back broke. So when I mean that, that means that my moments of stress when I was 16, 17, 18, I was literally doing whatever it took to become successful. And even to this day, I'm doing whatever I have to do to continue to be great. And what that means was at that time in this specific song, I was selling drugs. I was dealing with prostitution with women. I was doing so many things. I was even selling drugs to some of my family members, which is sometimes for me, you know, sometimes the money at that age was more important than, you know, family and, you know, people important around you with, which for me, that's one thing that it made me realize, you know, you fuck up some people in your life for money. Was it really worth it? That's my point, you know? And, in the song, my verse goes, see, my cousin could drive, I mean, state to state line, transport a couple of peas, younger, no nickels and dimes. While you cry for your bitch, my bitch is fucking just payment. Selling pussy to lanes like fucking crack in the 80s. Yeah, $1,000 for the hour, two dance for banging two ladies. I wasn't worried about money. I said, fuck being famous. I was just 17, living light like Sicario, trying to move and push coca like your boy was Pablo. So from shootouts to drug dealing to prostitution, I speak about that in my music. But, and if you actually look at the video, I have different scenes of like people cutting hair and things like that, which I wanted people to make a realization that hustling and getting it by any means can be a barber. It can be a doctor. It can be someone who works in a medical field. At the end of the day, I don't knock anyone doing something to be better. Like a lot of people like knock other people for doing what it takes. There's people in Hialeah down in Miami or in Calle Ocho that sell mangoes in the hot sun. That's a hustler. And they make $50 a day or $30 a day. But you know what? I respect that to the fullest. They're not 100% successful, but they're doing whatever it takes. You know how many people are bums and losers and don't want to do nothing to get money? They ask for free money where you can just go and do what you have to do to get money. It's simple. Like if you're homeless, you can get $50. Go to Walmart and then you can get 3-4 water bottles and sell it on the street and hustle. Change that 50 to 200. And then that 200, go back and make it 300, 400. Then if you're smart, you get other homeless people like, yo, you want to jump in this business? And you can make some money on the block just by selling water. The idea is you got to hustle to be great. That's what I don't think what people understand. People are lazy. They want everything today. And in that music, I was explaining everything I wanted. You know, I talk about being on the cover of Forbes. I talk about, you know, forget what people think of you. You know, you have to do whatever it takes to become successful because in life, if you try to tiptoe or walk on eggshells and become successful, follow your passion, you already lost. You lost. You already lost that life. Because if you think that someone else's opinion of yourself is more important than yourself, you have failed. And the way to get out of it is by changing your state of mind and doing what you need to do for yourself, period.
Yeah. There's nothing else. I mean, what you just said right there, that's a clip on its own right there, bro. I'm here to tell you that's 100%. That was the pivot, bro, for me in my life. And I've been through it as well, and I got stories and this, that, the other. Man, I've done it all too, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not Virgin Mary, you know? And I'm here to tell you, bro, when that clicked in my mind, when people's opinion about me in my head died over my own, that was it. That was the life changer for me, you know, and that's true. Short-term thinking, long-term thinking. You were talking about the mangoes, the water, the hustle. I think the motivation is everything too, bro, because
of course.
What are you looking for? You want people to go, oh, this guy's a drug dealer. You know, I mean, I don't know. Or, cause I'll tell you what, if you scale the mango flip, in Miami, there's a lot of mango trees, bro, because I'm here to tell you, I was talking to Nate the Great last night, and I just interviewed him. Check out episode 7, Nate the Great Brooks, and he was featured in the movie Magic City Hustle, Roncator Films, Billy Corbin, Alfred Spellman, David Sipkin, the crew down there, and they went ahead and pumped out this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, Magic City Hustle, check it out.
Definitely gonna check it out. Definitely gonna check it out.
It's a really cool movie. But talk to me, man. Talk to me about patience, man. Talk to me about patience because I think that's a good one.
So patience is, you know, patience I think is one of the hardest things, and I'm still trying to develop that. Patience is something that you have to wait because not everything goes right, not everything goes perfect. Things, you know, everything could be against you. The idea is not to fold and not to break during those situations. And like people want, I guess, you know, they want something to happen now, 4 months from now, 6 months from now, a year, 2 years, 3 years. It could take a long time to things, you know, work out to be, you know, successful where you want to be. But I think if people realize working at your job, you're never going to become successful working at your job, and you're never going to be happier if you're not already happy. So I rather spend my time and my years following something I love. Yeah. That makes me feel better, and just have patience for it. And in the long run, I'll get, you know, I'll get the gratification because it's something that I created. If it's a brand, if it's a company, if it's music, and you know, like that, you know.
Yeah, the process. Because if you think about it, even when you started the hustle at whatever age, doing whatever, whether it was a good choice or a bad choice, not judging it. If you take the judgment out of it and you just don't judge, just make it binary. Mm-hmm. Make it zeros and sticks, bro. You know what I'm saying? Take the emotion out of it. Like, it wasn't that part of the process, though? I mean, you know, you got to, for me, I know that self-awareness has really gotten really bright in my mind, bro. And I'm here to tell you, I don't look backwards, bro. No, not anymore.
No, with everything that I've done, man, go ahead, my bad.
No, I'm saying because you definitely, bro, that process, I mean, that's, when did you start, when did you start on your own? You were young, bro. What was your age?
When I was selling drugs, living on my own.
When you started living on your own.
Oh, my bad. I was living on my own when I was 17. I was actually living at a friend's house who was an immigrant. His name is Julio. And I didn't have anywhere to stay because the place I was staying at, we got evicted. So I had to go somewhere, and then I had no more options. And I told my homeboy, can I come live with him? He's like, yeah, let me ask my mom. He's 17. His mom let me live with him.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I slept on the floor for a whole year. And it actually made me realize what it is to be an American, bro. Me being Hispanic, you know, and born here, sometimes we don't realize it, but I realized, like, for him and his parents, they were scared to pick up the phone. They were scared to go out. They wouldn't go to dinner. They were scared every single day when they went to work, thinking they'll get deported. And I lived at these people's house for a full year. His mom washed my clothes, gave me food, and never asked me for a dollar.
Wow, bro.
And it made me really appreciate, man, being American, where I can just get the fuck up and get a job if I needed. You know, these people couldn't get a job if they needed because, you know, of being an immigrant. And I realized that, and it actually motivated me more, like, yo, man, I got all the opportunities to grow. And, you know, then I, you know, I told him, hey, man, I appreciate everything. And I told him, you know, I was going to get my own place, and I got my own place. I got a one bedroom apartment at the time. And then, he actually went back to Chile. He actually left back cause he was an immigrant. He's like, yo, bro, I can't stay. My family can't stay. I can't go to school. I can't go to college. You know, I can't get a real job. You know, I can't pay a woman to get married. So, you know, and he was here since he was like 5. So he spoke perfect English. He was like an American to me. And seeing him leave, shit broke my heart because I was like, damn, like, you know, this kid, you know, he could have been anything he wanted, but he couldn't because of the way the laws work. Right. And it just fueled me 10 times more. It fueled me. Like, it's like anger that got into me. Like, yo, you know, I can be whatever I want to be. Yo, I can be everything I want to be. And it just fueled me to keep working harder. So, yeah, like at the age of 17, I was like about to be 18, but I was 17 at the time when I got my first place.
Yeah. You started early for sure, man. Yeah. Me, I started, you know, early. A lot of people don't realize, man, you know, my dad was trying to teach me the value of a dollar, you know, and so, you know, he was taking me to work. I'm lifting heavy furniture and all type of stuff. And, you know, just really working at an early age, man, you know, it might have not been a lot to the eyes of many, but in my eyes, it was a lot of work, bro, you know?
And that's good. That's a good value.
That was a good thing, bro. And I'm here to tell you, man, I was working for the Miami Herald at a very early age, and it wasn't legally either. The guy that was the neighborhood Herald rep or whatever that would pick up the kids to sell newspapers, I told him my situation. I remember they did things that they had to do to make it work. And I'm here to tell you, I was working at a very early age, making good money for the Miami Herald. And I remember I was 15 when I won a trip with the Miami Herald to go to Cancun. and Dope. because of sales and stuff. So I was always good at the sales thing as well. But in life, I've fallen trap of the same thing of the short-term thinking. And it always led to unhappiness. I was never happy. And then once I came to peace with the long-term process and learning patience as I go, because I think it's a learning thing. You just don't learn the merit badge and you've arrived, you know?
Exactly.
So it's a learning thing. But man, do you still keep in contact with the family, the immigrants that you were living on the floor for about a year?
Yeah, I definitely do. I keep in contact with them. And really, like, you know what it was? I got sent over here from Atlanta at the age of 12. And people don't know this, but I live with a friend whose dad was handicapped. So I lived with someone who was a handicap. I lived in drug houses. I lived with family members that were drug addicts. I live in places where I got evicted, Section 8. So most of the people that, you know, gave me, you know, the opportunity to just stay at their place, I was 100% appreciative, man, because, you know, I was young at the time. And, you know, obviously I wasn't old enough. Imagine I'm trying to go to school and balance out high school and balance out where am I going to live and where am I going to put my clothes. And, you know, people don't understand that. Like, when you're really in a situation like that, it's hard to go to school. It's hard to be okay. It's hard to be happy. It's hard to be motivated when you wake up every day not knowing where you're going to stay. You don't see your parents. It's a hard feeling. People don't understand that.
It is hard, but when people are put in situations like that, that's when things get real, you know? And then that's when you'll be put through that test, man, that refinement, man. And you obviously found a way to do it right, in Miami with your passion for music. Would you consider yourself a full-bred entrepreneur?
You figured
that out?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Like, I have, 100%. For example, like, I have a book that I'm writing.
Okay.
And my book is about my life. And what I want to do is when I release this book, you know, Growing with the Music, I have a bigger platform where I can, you know, promote this book. And this book talks about, you know, pretty much how I changed my life from negative to positive. It's really just speaking about my life. For every book that is sold, I want to have some of the funds donated to Youth Risk Kids in Miami-Dade County jails. So, like, I actually want to help the youth. I want to go speak to different kids and talk about, you know, how you can change your life and become successful. And also, when I, you know, get bigger platform, I want to open up orphanages and shelters in Colombia and Brazil, in Rio and also in Medellin, because I'm Colombian. And the reason why I want to do that is because, you know, since I'm Colombian, you know, I go back over there and I see some of my family that are in the best conditions. And, you know, it makes you want to help. You know, you want to build a foundation for these kids who never have birthdays, who never seen their mom and dad, and give an opportunity. And also here, you know, from the same streets I grew up in, there might be people who are stuck in jail because they didn't have an opportunity. They were just like me. And I didn't get caught, but maybe they did. And they're stuck in a system. I had plenty of friends of mine that went to jail, and they're in jail for 15, 20 years. I got other friends that died.
Yep. I get it, brother. I had a second opportunity too. Many people gave me that second opportunity. I've been in it, man. So I 100% get it. And I'll tell you what, bro, that really excites me to hear that you're wanting to give back to kids that, like you said, got caught, you know, because you didn't.
Yeah,
I'm on that same boat with you, brother. You know what I'm saying? So, that's awesome, man.
And the good thing about, you know, coming to talk to people, you know, and that's what I'm saying, once this position and my platform grows, I want to bring different people. Because what happens is, see, Miami is like its own island. You know, I traveled a lot. I lived in Atlanta. I've been almost everywhere in the U.S., and Miami has a different culture, Latin culture, Haitian culture, Jamaican culture. And what happens is sometimes we look at people who are successful, right? And some people can't relate, you know? And the reason why I'm saying that, because a lot of these people who are successful don't speak to the kids in situations that are stuck or in schools. When I mean that, if you have someone who is like, hey, I'm a criminal and I did a mistake, but I'm successful now, that can motivate a kid to be like, damn, I don't want to go to jail. He looks just like me, or he's the same culture I'm from. He's from the same block and he's successful. I want to be like him now because he just motivated him. If you have people who are successful that come from like really good, clean cut conditions, sometimes kids don't relate to it, because I know that was my situation. You know, when someone you would be like, oh yeah, this and this, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, like it's a totally different situation. If you have someone that comes to the school, to the jail, like, yo, I was homeless, yo, I was this and I was that, or I went to jail and I went to this, kids are gonna gravitate to that, because that's what humans do. Natural humans gravitate to what they can relate to. And that's the biggest problem with people nowadays. We're not relating with the people. And Gary Vee talks about, you do what you do and people will become relatable to what you do, because they can find a niche. And the problem is, we like to point the finger at the youth and the generation and say, yo, it's this and this and this and this and that. Yo, I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody. I think at a certain age and a certain point, we make decisions, obviously, that affect ourselves. But yo, at the end of the day, when kids are teenagers, when they're 13, 14, and you're born and raised in a broken home and you in a fucked up situation, you got hate on your mind. You don't care about anything. Because I remember when I was young, I was like, yo, I'd rather be dead than be where I'm at. So I'd rather do whatever I got to do. And if someone kills me, it's better, because you know what? I don't got to deal with these problems anymore. Right. I don't got to deal with. That's the way I was thinking. So I was ready to die. I was ready to have. You know, I was just an angry person because of my life. But then after that, you know, I learned I can't be the victim if I want to be successful. Being a victim is like being a bitch. You can't do that. You can't sit down and lay down and say, boo hoo. You have to get up and make it happen. And you know, this is for anybody. You know, whatever condition or situation, at some point in your life, you will have to face that. At some point, if not, you will forever be in the same position you're in.
Yeah, 100%. You know, for when what I found based on what you just said, to add to that, it's not an age thing. It's not an age thing at all.
True.
Age is not even a factor in this thing. It doesn't matter, dude. I'm 44. I got stuff running in my head that I was running through my head when I was 10, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so nothing's changed. So I still got to deal with that stuff, you know?
Of course.
Not to make it a Dr. Phil session, but, you know, it's true. It's very true, man. It goes back to the same thing. No, man, that's powerful, bro. That's deep. That's deep right there, brother.
Thank you.
That's deep, bro. Appreciate you saying that, and also touching on culture in Miami, because it truly is its own island. Miami, I was talking to two dear friends this week, and I'll tell you what, man, it's true. I mean, I even in what I've been trying to do, I have to refocus and change strategy here, because there was a disconnect in what I was doing. To make it in short, there was a disconnect. And everybody who I'm featuring on the podcast just so happens to be in South Florida.
Okay, that's good. Why?
It's interesting. I'm not living in South Florida. I'm trying to cover Central Florida. But like you said, I'm passionate about South Florida. So obviously I've been smashing in South Florida a lot, because there's really not a lot of stuff going on in Central Florida. So I want to highlight that as our culture in Central Florida is changing, I want to show that, hey, check this out. You know, West Art District. Nobody knows what that is in South Florida. What is West Art District? Oh, it's going to be Wynwood in a couple of years. Mark my words. Time will tell. You'll see.
Then this would be good for you to start investing, buy some property, brother.
Well, check this out. You can't touch it anymore. I'm already late, bro, because they've already planted Orlando City Soccer Stadium in that area. There's a couple of city blocks that are already graffitied out, and that's West Art District. And that's you can find them on social. So, yeah, man, it's. The culture up here is changing significantly, but in Miami, me being from Hialeah, anything north of the Palmetto is Broward County, bro. I mean, it's so like, for example, like you're Colombian. I grew up, my stepfather, Caleño from Colombia. From Cali. So I grew up in the Colombian culture. I'm Cuban because my dad's Cuban. I grew up in Hialeah. I consider myself to be Cuban, but there's an influence of Colombia that I'm very passionate to. And, you know, so Colombia is a very, you know, I didn't even know you were Colombian. I didn't, you know, sneak you out because you were Colombian. I didn't know that. But, you know, it's interesting how passion just connects the dots.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm trying to lay down here, because it connected the dots. And it's interesting because, again, you're Colombian. It's almost like when you're passionate, things just align for you. The stars align. The universe aligns for you, if you want to call it the universe. Whatever. You know, I'm here to tell you, brother, you know, it's powerful. Passion. When I looked up the definition of passion a couple years ago, I wrestled with the definition personally. I Googled it. I wrestled with it personally, and I looked into it. Okay. And after looking into it and the current state of my mind at the time and everything that I had been going through at the time of my life, I made the decision that passion, what is my passion? I asked myself, and that's what started all this that I'm doing. I don't know where it's going. You know, I don't have all the answers. I'm definitely working on the framework as we speak to change the negative, the half empty thinking to the half full thinking. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm much happier of a person right now. And it's really cool how things align when you're passionate, man. Talk to me about the culture, though, that you're familiar with, because you're in South Florida. I'm in Central Florida. I've been out for 19 years. It's changed tremendously. Talk to me about the culture, music, the current state of what you're passionate about, which is the music. And how does that tie into the culture in Miami?
So the thing is, all right, so I grew up, I was born in Miami at the age of 4. My mom and dad split. I went to Atlanta. So I was raised around literally black culture. I was raised in Atlanta, Southern Atlanta. And everyone around me was black. There was no such thing as Spanish, like no such thing as Spanish. So I was raised around hip hop, blues, jazz. Even though my family was still Spanish, I would listen to Spanish music. I had a big, you know, concoction of just music that was around me. And I like listening to music. You know, I remember when I would go, I would be the only Spanish kid in the neighborhood. And then I had friends who would rap, like, yo, Reese, you want to rap? And I would start rapping. And at the time that I was rapping, there was, you know, there was no such thing as a Spanish artist. And, you know, fast forward to moving back to Miami, like, oh, shit, there's Spanish people here. There's Spanish urban people here. That's Spanish. It's like it was like a shock for me, because remember, I was raised in Atlanta. And when I moved to Miami, it was like, whoa, I got like, yo, there's Cuban, there's Puerto Rican, there's Colombian. I was like, then I started, there's Dominican. I didn't see that when I grew up. So I was really kind of oblivious to that, even though I was Hispanic. And when I came to Miami, the culture was totally different at the time. It was like, you know, rap music was still going good, but it was still a predominantly black culture, an aspect of it wasn't too many Hispanics or white guys, let's say, right? And then, you know, I was raised in the hood again in North Miami, 134 Block, and there's only Haitian people there. So I was raised around Haitian Zoes my entire life, pretty much. Best friends are Haitian. And, you know, Haitian culture, you know, it's like family. It'd be the same thing. That's the way I looked at it. And I was doing music, and little by little, as the years pass, it's crazy nowadays, because it's like everything is in the mix. Wentworth used to be the hood. Wentworth used to be, you know, back in the day, you couldn't go over there. Now, Overtown, they're trying to build things in Overtown. And back in the day, it wasn't a mix. It's crazy now how everyone's going from the beach and now mixing in with everything, with urban culture, because now I feel like everything is one now. This is like an amazing time to, you know, let's say do music. You know, as a Hispanic artist, it's more acceptable for me to be in there now because of the way things are going. Like, you know, you have music growing in so many different ways and you have so many platforms to make money. It's like, it makes sense to do it because there's so much room for growth. And as the culture in Miami, I'm definitely seeing a very, very, very big culture, such a good mix. Like, for example, when you have, there's a thing called Art Basel Miami, or Art Basel, I don't know how they call it, but it's Art Basel. And what happened? Yeah, Art Basel. And they have like a whole bunch of art galleries. Before, it used to be on the beach, nice areas, and now they're in Wynwood. And you could be hanging out in Wynwood. There's dreadheads with a guy with a suit. And it's a good mix. And I think that's what people are liking now about Miami. It's not, you're not separating people anymore. You're not, you know, there's no more segregation aspect of rich and poor. I'm not even talking about color. I'm just talking about rich or poor. Now you can pull up to a spot in Wynwood and you got people from all different ages. You have people who are 40 and 50 and you have people who are 20, 22.
Yeah.
And now for me, I'm like, yo, this is amazing. Why is this amazing? Because this is real humanity. This is real humanity. This is what real people are. It's not about wealth. It's not about color. It's not about where you come from. It's about enjoying it. And I did a couple shows with this guy named DZ the Rapper. Shout out to DZ the Rapper, Culture Club. He did something called Culture Club Tours, and I was doing performances there. And you got people who came from Fort Myers, Port St. Lucie, Lake Worth. They were from Opa-locka, Liberty City, Pork and Beans, Lincolnville Projects. And it was like, it was beautiful to me. It was beautiful to me because, you know, when I used to do music back in the day, I would do it in North Miami. I'd be the only Spanish dude rapping. And now you see from Spanish black, a Chinese dude, a dude from not even from the same block or the same hood. Before, you would perform in your block, in your hood, because that's the way it went. And now it's everyone together. And I think what people are starting to realize is that it's better we work together than against each other. And I think Miami is going to be it is the melting pot. This is the spot right now, better than California, better than New York. Not saying because, oh, we're the best. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about and where it's going and where it's at right now. Why am I saying that? Real estate, you can buy. This is the cheapest real estate compared to New York and California. And you get everything brand new views, brand new style. You still got million-dollar homes, Star Island, Coral Gables. It's like a good mix of everything, plus the culture and plus the different things you see. So I'm glad to be a part of that process, and I'm glad to be into the mix. And I can guarantee you this, if you've never been in Miami, but you come here one night, that one night you will meet interesting people from different places and you will have an interesting night, because that's how Miami goes. It's definitely a night to enjoy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've this is a confessional moment here. I've struggled to capture that and present that on social, because my passion for South Florida is intense, bro. It's not going to go away. It's not going to happen. Dude, I grew up, you know, graduated from Hialeah. I'm Hialeah 100%, dude. When I go there, that's home. You know, I feel out of place here. I'm like a duck out of the water here. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this is home as well. So because of that, that's why with La Crónicas of the Green Chair web series, I feature the intersection of passion and culture between Central and South Florida alike. Most of the people that I connect with seems to be South Florida, because I connected with several people when I started this journey. And those relationships have developed into other relationships. But, you know, it's turning into a Central Florida thing as well now for me. So, you know, it's interesting how it's going, but yeah, man, it's a process. The culture, there's nothing like Miami, bro. I don't care on what aspect of it you look at. Be Miami. It's two different cultures, man. It will never be.
And the thing that I love about Miami, you could see a black guy and he'll be Spanish. You could see a white guy and he'll be from Haiti. He'll be from Jamaica. You can have Jamaican food, Haitian food. You can have Caribbean food. You can have Spanish food, Cuban, Colombian. You have almost anything you can pick from. And that in itself, people have not experienced that. When you experience that Miami style, cultures at one, it's a great feeling. And I think that's the one thing people miss most about Miami, because everyone looks like, oh, it's the jet skis, it's the yacht, it's the boat. Of course, man, this is also Miami, just like Beverly Hills is California. But we cannot forget the culture that represents and creates Miami. Because, you know, I don't think people understand that. That's what you need to understand, and the people need to understand. But not you, but the people. That's what they I don't think, seem to grasp, is the culture is what makes Miami. Everything else, like the mansions, the jet skis, the boats, that's just an accessory. That's just accessories of Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should close with that, because first of all, my phone's got to die and I just lost audio here a little bit. So we'll see what's going down now. But It's all, at the end of the day, it's all about culture, man. It's all about culture. And that's why I'm so passionate about covering it, because it's all about culture. Culture is all about people. And that's the bottom line, bro.
We just heard from Young Reese. Check him out on YouTube and on IG. His handle is Young Reese Official. Thank you for listening to the Abe Llerena audio experience. Hit me up on Twitter. That's Llerena Media, LLERENA. Love you guys. Peace.